Hey, podcasters. My name is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials, and welcome to another episode of the ACT Podcast. In this week's episode, in recognition of International Women's Month, we're featuring this recent talk between our associate editor, Miranda Schmalfus, and Marie Thiel, global head of UCB's Women of Childbearing Age program. They speak about the specific challenges women with chronic illnesses face when accessing appropriate treatment and participating in clinical trials, UCB's Women of Childbearing Age program, and its most successful strategies, plus much more. Let's take a listen in.
Okay, Marie, so tell me, beyond the data gap for pregnancy, what other specific challenges do women with chronic illnesses face when it comes to accessing appropriate treatment and participating in clinical trials?
Yes, indeed. Women with chronic illnesses face specific challenges when it comes to accessing appropriate treatment. And actually, it starts with having relevant information and data from clinical trials. So first of all, to be clear, women's health includes reproductive health, but also covers general conditions that may affect women differently or disproportionately, like higher prevalence, higher disease burden for women. And I'm just going to give you a couple of examples, if it's okay. In rheumatic diseases, for example, research shows that women can experience longer delays in diagnosis, greater pain, anxiety, stress, and can, as a result, be less active. The same way in psoriatic diseases, which is a disease that affects both skin and joints, women experience a greater feeling of stigmatization, are more likely to suffer from stress, loneliness than men. And maybe another example we can think about is one of three women will suffer from fragility fracture due to osteoporosis during her lifetime. And despite all that, health challenges for women are still consistently overlooked, with studies that ignore the contribution of gender differences in significant condition. So as a result, treatment guidelines, at least at the moment, do not recognize gender as a reason to consider different approaches to their care. And policies and frameworks need to ensure they reflect an equality-based approach to the care of women. Actually, health systems that take account gender differences in their public health strategies are more likely to be successful and have a greater societal impact. We know that now, right? So most women with chronic illnesses are often diagnosed during the height of their careers and their reproductive years. And then they'll face specific challenges. One of them could be the desire to continue working, but sometimes building a family as well while managing their disease. And it is critical to improve the standard of care for these women so they don't have to make trade-offs between controlling their disease or planning their family and living the life they choose.
So UCB's Women of Childbearing Age program is a commendable initiative. Can you tell me more about it and elaborate on some of the program's most successful strategies for maybe encouraging the inclusion of women of childbearing age in clinical trials?
Absolutely. So first of all, I'm going to start by saying when we talk about women of childbearing age, we define it as the period before, during, and after pregnancy throughout the reproductive health journey. And this could be a long period of a woman's life, particularly for women living with chronic diseases that may have a longer time, need a longer time to get pregnant. So UCB approached me years ago with this idea of better understanding how to improve the information and the research for women living with chronic diseases. And for me, it was really a no-brainer. It was a great opportunity to use my expertise and experience in clinical trials and research ethics to help women who are of childbearing age. And I want to say it was a bold, really bold move from UCB, because at the time we were the first pharmaceutical company to be able to do that type of research and even think about that type of research. And this is how we established the Women of Childbearing Age program to improve the lives and family planning of these women in this work is extremely meaningful to me personally. So as I said, 10 years ago, we made it our vision to empower and support women with chronic diseases to make informed decisions about their healthcare. And this is now embedded across all our development, early drug development, late stage, and also in market disease areas. And we say, and I say, that women need to be protected through research and not from research. And this is why UCB was the first pharmaceutical company to conduct clinical research to generate strong evidence in women with chronic inflammatory disease during pregnancy and breastfeeding. So practically, what does that mean for us? Well, we have assembled a cross-functional team of experts within our organization to systematically assess the woman's unmet need during their reproductive journey in all our therapeutic areas. When we design studies, we design them with women in mind, in collaboration with our women patient experts. We have operational remote enrollment model to reduce the burden of these studies on the women who may have already children and have busy life. Our clinical trial protocol template allow a woman who gets pregnant in a clinical trial to remain in the study and not be excluded, which is what is usually done and what was done for decades in research. So that's a little bit what we do internally. But I want to say we acknowledge the collaborative nature of our mission. And we recognize that a sustainable impact cannot be achieved by pharma in isolation. And this is why we partner. We continue partnering with patients, with scientific communities, with regulators and policymakers to really advance the scientific understanding of women of childbearing age with chronic disease. And on a personal note, I was very privileged to connect with key stakeholders these past years on behalf of UCB to present at different congresses and events, panels, and including the opportunity to work with the FDA and provide feedback on their pregnancy safety study framework workshop. And moving forward, I want to say that I'm very pleased to share that I will be discussing how we can generate early data for pregnant and lactating women living with chronic diseases at the DIA global meeting in June in San Diego, which is a fantastic opportunity to have this discussion with others. And finally, as a co-chair of the Global Independent Commission, BRIDGE, which BRIDGE stands for Better Research, Information, and Data Generation for Empowerment, I really look forward to continuing to help elevate this important conversation and deliver practical action-oriented solutions to overcome information gaps that affect women's health. And the first of which will be detailed in a report to be released in May 2024. So watch for this report, Miranda. So just want to finish by saying that all women with a chronic disease should have access to reliable, high-quality data to help them understand the benefits and risks of disease management from the point of diagnosis through their life and their reproductive journey, ensuring women can make better informed decisions based on facts and inclusivity.
Wow, that's awesome. And sounds like you have a lot of really exciting opportunities coming up. And you hit on a lot of buzzwords that we talk about. Diversity, certainly this is a very vast audience to address because that's big. And lessening the burden everywhere would just be great in general, right? Because it folds right into patient centricity. So that's all really, really great stuff and awesome to hear. So looking forward to the future, what are your thoughts on the role of technology in addressing the data gap in women's health research?
Innovative digital technology is without doubt going to play a crucial role in bridging this gap that we just talked about. I think I see it in two ways. First, in terms of healthcare monitoring but also in terms of data generation, interpretation, dissemination. So technologies already enable women to actively monitor their daily health indicators and participate in their healthcare management. And for example, managing medications, tracking physical activities, period ovulation trackers are another great example of at-home monitoring for women. But beyond monitoring, technologies should improve both the systematic generation and the interpretation of gender data throughout our research and development process. And I think by harnessing the power of AI, we can potentially shift to a more precise approach to drug design and discovery, which can also lead to more personalized medicine. So there are exciting opportunities with AI and machine learning algorithm to analyze large data sets, identify patterns related to women's health. And this technology could help uncover perhaps hidden insights from existing data and help generate hypotheses for future research. So this will ultimately enable women to contribute data for research and engage with their health metrics more significantly, leading to better health outcomes. And finally, something we need to think about is we need more technological innovation to enable sharing data and information between the patients and their physicians to facilitate the discussion and their reproductive journey in particular related to their disease, but to their health in general as well.
I definitely think that one of the biggest arguments or biggest hurdles rather for our artificial intelligence with data sharing is the privacy aspect of that.
Yeah.
And making sure that everything stays secure and we don't want anybody, you know, just stay away
yeah.
from all of that messy stuff. So
exactly.
Shifting gears a little bit, what message would you give to young women who are passionate about women's health and potentially interested in pursuing careers in research or healthcare?
So I would say go for it. We need more women interested in healthcare, in pharmaceuticals, and in technologies who are passionate and really wish to contribute to advancing science and impacting women's health. Whether it's for family planning, disease management, or for society in general, actually. I would say it's still a very challenging field, but it's extremely rewarding because we see the direct impact of what we do for current, but also for future generations. And I think for us women, it's really, really important to see that. There's a huge potential for future careers, and I would love to see more enthusiastic young women in this area of work, really. And I would say for those who are listening, I encourage you to follow me on LinkedIn for more on what I'm working on, or you can also visit ucb.com.
Thank you so much, Marie. I've gotten so much out of our conversation today, and I can't wait to have another conversation together. I've gotten, like I said, so much out of this. And again, follow Marie on LinkedIn, like she said.
Thank you so much, Miranda. It was fantastic to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to the next opportunity we have to meet and talk.